Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Friday, the 15th of April. Tax day? Although not really, right?
No,
it's Monday.
This
it's
year.
Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So they moved it. We have a weekend to make up the money that we need to send to the various governments of our choosing. Welcome to the roundtable. Welcome to our panel. Let me introduce them to you, and then I'll let you in on how you can become a part of our conversation as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Yo.
How are you?
Fine.
Good. All right. Excellent. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is...
I'm lowering my volume control.
We both are.
Very enthusiastic. That's good. He's ready to go. Rosemary Armeo is here. She is a University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter, and it's always a great pleasure to have her here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Barbara Smith is with us, author and activist, and it is always a great pleasure to have Barbara with us this morning. Thank you very much.
Hi, Joe.
Very nice
to see you.
Nice to have you with us. So last night, you were honored for your character.
Apparently.
I think that is beautiful. That was a lovely thing.
It is. It is really nice.
Who was the honorers?
This is the Academy for Character Education at the Sage Colleges. And I'm looking at the flyer because I want to make sure I didn't forget any little detail. Rex Smith was actually their opening keynote speaker, but he had to be away in Texas for business, so we saw him virtually. He looked extremely handsome, as always.
Am I ever going to be on a radio show where Rex's looks are not discussed?
Well, the thing is, they're striking, so what can you do? There's nothing you can do. But
yes.
In any event, I had the pleasure of sitting with Mike Spain and some other people from the Times Union.
Right.
And that was really nice, too. But it's a beautiful event because this Academy for Character Education is based on a model of the way you get good academic results and good life results for kids and, you know, young people is to have a character-driven curriculum. And they just did a lot of wonderful things last night.
Well, congratulations.
Thank
on,
you.
On that. Certainly well-deserved. Let us go, again, a reminder, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. And so let's talk about, we'll begin by talking about what happened last night, the Democratic debate that took place in Brooklyn, New York, with just days to go before the New York primary on both the Republican and Democratic sides. But it was the Democratic candidates who took the stage, both Senator Bernie Sanders and Secretary Hillary Clinton. Wolf Blitzer was the moderator, and it was fiery. It was contentious. It was there was a lot of going back and forth. It was not as civil as...
It's like a Republican debate.
Yeah,
I don't think so, because I think it was substantive. And I agree with you about one thing, Rosemary. It was really fun. I mean, if you saw, the crowd was in it, they were in it. But the basic philosophical differences were made very clear, don't you think?
I didn't learn a single thing. I think everything in there has been aired before, but without the snide and sarcastic tones.
I agree with Rosemary about not necessarily learning new things, but some of the things that were talked about were said, I think, perhaps in a different context, so they might have hit harder.
Certainly that's what the candidates seem to be thinking. You know, if I say this with a sneer, maybe people will attach more meaning to it. I don't know. I did not like this one. I thought the other debates were what Alan said, substantive, civil, important. This felt like I said, the Republicans wrangling again. And it just shows, I think, how unexpectedly tight this race is, how emotional it is. And, of course, I don't like that either.
Well, the thing is, there are definite differences between the two candidates. And having gone to the Bernie rally here, with the, you know, 2,000 people who couldn't get in. It was a mob, you know, scene, and well, not mob in the sense of a Trump mob, but it was huge, you know, a huge event, and very exciting on Monday. So as I said, the differences in, I think, their platforms and perspectives are significant, and people are very, very passionate. That's why I mentioned the rally, because I got to see that in person.
And significant, Barbara, don't you think, for New Yorkers? In other words, each of these has a contextual element to them. This was in New York. Race played a part in it. Israel, which is huge in New York City, played a huge part in it. Hillary and her speeches, and why she hasn't released them, and why she took the money, they took a, played a big part in it, playing to the youth vote, I think. And so I think all of those things got put on the table in a New York kind of way.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing that was different, I think Bernie Sanders plainly has been boning up on foreign affairs, which he needed to do, and that's a good thing. And I actually find myself closer to him than to Hillary. On Israel, which is, we got to start looking at whether Israel is always right. I think that's so sane. Of course, I still don't know how he would do that. I think he zinged her badly on the minimum wage and her insistence that she was a leader in that. She just let that go. It's happening. Mm-hmm. They both are in favor of it. That should just go. I think she hurt him on gun control. That's a weakness. And, you know, what can he do? He can't change his record no more than she can change
his
vote.
Yeah, his D-minus record with the NRA.
Yeah.
Well, she, you know, and he cannot change that he voted against gun controls and after Jim Brady was hit. And he can't change that, and she can't change Iraq. So we got to move on from there.
I do want to, just in a matter of clarification, and so people know, and in full disclosure, but Barbara, you have been invited to serve on the National LGBTQ Steering Committee for the Sanders campaign.
That's correct.
On a national scale.
Yes, that just happened a couple of weeks ago, so it wasn't even operative the last time I was here. But the thing is, yes, I am involved in that as of the last couple of weeks. It's really interesting and exciting to be working in that way. And I have mostly worked with the National Women's Outreach Coordinator, though, on women's issues.
Well, that's great, and congratulations. I hope you lose.
Oh, God. How could you be so cruel? Well, I'm not going to say that back to you, because I'm not in junior high school. I'm not saying that. I'm not taking the bait.
I'm in the mood of the debates.
I'm not taking the bait.
Let me wipe the tear from my eye from that one. That was lovely, Rosemary. Very nice. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Alan has a lot of letters to read to us, and we'll get on to other subjects as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Traditions Linens Factory Outlet, Claverick. Finds from the factory for bed, bath, and home, plus spring collections and natural fibers. TraditionsLinens.com. Davidson Brothers Brew Pub, featuring food, ales, entertainment, and more, serving lunch and dinner 7 days a week in downtown Glens Falls, New York. DavidsonBrothers.com. And Whitney's Farm Market and Country Gardens, Cheshire, Massachusetts. Now open for the season with garden supplies, organic fertilizers, mulch, cold hardy annuals and perennials, pansies, flowering trees, shrubs, and more. Whitney'sFarm.com.
Good morning and welcome back to the program. We've been talking about the debate last night that took place on CNN, although it was broadcast throughout New York and New York One, as well as Time Warner, which I thought was great. So a lot of New Yorkers got to see it. And it was, as we said, it was very spirited, and there was a lot going on there over the two-hour period of time. We got a lot of letters on it, so we will go to the letters now, and Alan can get us going, and that'll stir up more conversation, I'm sure.
Alan, before you say that, just a second,
sure.
Alan, I just wanted to, since we don't have a camera in the studio at this time, I just want listeners to know that when Rosemary said that thing about, I hope you lose, both of us had big smiles on our faces. Just want people to know that it's all...
No fisticuffs.
No, we had big smiles on our faces.
All right, Alan, go.
Okay, and NATO, says Jay. Europeans heaved a huge sigh of relief last night. Their cushy, quote, socialist lifestyles will remain secure under a Clinton administration, thanks in large part to the suffering American taxpayer. According to Clinton, Bernie's proposals are pie in the sky, but she's more than happy to continue spending taxpayer money so Europeans can continue to live better than most Americans. There you go. All right. And Dan says, Rosemary is sometimes so New York, in capital letters. Her onion skin is glaring at times, and that's from Dan. I'm not sure what it means.
I don't know what that means.
I think he means thin skin.
Yeah, can't take him. But
maybe it changed.
Insults yet. Yours is the first. Thank you.
Maybe it changed. Maybe it changed thin to, you know, to onion. Who knows? Jack says she seems to have difficulty giving a yes or a no answer. By the way, love today's interlude tunes. Me too. By the way, Jack, I think these are great. This is my kind of music. Let's see. And James says, in last night's debate, Hillary defended some of her actions as Secretary of State, saying, Obama made me do it. Other times she would say Obama trusted her judgment. Fact was, she was one of the biggest hawks in the Obama administration, and before that voted for the Iraq War. Bernie's my choice, but Hillary will still be better than any Republican candidate. As to imagery, I was struck by how close the candidates were to Saturday Night Live's take on them, including the hand-waving and the $600 haircut. Guess who had the $600 haircut?
Well, I have to say, just to back to the earlier point, which I hope doesn't leave my brain before I actually get to say it, which was the... Oh, I lost it. Never mind. Go ahead, Alan. I'm sorry. It was something that struck me last night about the debate, and her letter made me think of it, and then I lost it.
You'll get it back.
I'll get it back.
You always do.
Okay, then Jim took some issue. It's a personal letter, I think, to me with my fairness and says my complaint was about the lack of balance and therefore fairness on the roundtable's panel's coverage on the Democratic primary. Wrong. I think it has been extremely balanced.
Let us note that today it's 2-1 Bernie supporters. In the past, it's been 2-1 Libby supporters. So we are
Libby,
balanced.
Hillary.
Libby is the other supporter of Hillary,
The thing I was thinking about, Alan, with James's letter, which was about President Obama, Hillary Clinton made the point many, many times of linking herself to the Obama administration and calling out Senator Sanders of saying that by saying that you were going against this very successful president. And I thought that was an interesting strategy. Especially considering Bernie is also the one who has been actually in the Senate during the most of the Obama campaign, during the entire
administration
mm-hmm. and siding with the president, what was it, more than 95% of the time. So I don't know if that's a accurate strategy, but it was certainly something that she did several times last night.
Well, look, Hillary knows very well that this is a very popular president, and she wants her share. She wants to attach herself as much as possible. Your point is very well taken, Joe, though. Ruth says, I'm a woman, a Democrat, a senior, and I'll be voting for Bernie on Tuesday. I'm tired of Hillary supporters like Rosemary telling me I'm wrong. I think Hillary should never have run in 2016 because of her pending entrance in the contest scared other Democrats away, except for Bernie. I hope he's the nominee, and then on and on. So good for her. Okay, and though I was glad, says Denise, to see Hillary take the moderators to task for not bringing up reproductive justice, I was disturbed there was no mention of Puerto Rico or Black Lives Matter.
Didn't Martin O'Malley run?
I'm sorry?
The former governor of Maryland?
Yes.
He ran?
Yes.
So there wasn't just one Democrat who...
There were actually two other ones who dropped out, and Joe Biden didn't enter, not because he was afraid of Hillary, but because of personal problems.
Right.
And Hillary needs to get $600 haircuts to stop discussion about she's wearing the wrong color, she looks bad. These are issues that all women candidates have to deal with. If you remember, even Sarah Palin had to take criticism about how much she spent on a wardrobe. And yet, if she didn't, there would be criticism the other way. It's although, really not fair.
Although Bill had to take criticism over his haircut on the tarmac.
Well, who was it Bill? No, it was John Edwards.
No, Bill. Well,
John Edwards
too.
Had it too, right?
But Bill Clinton, when he was president.
But his hair is really nice.
Because he had the barber come on Air Force One and closed down LAX, and that was a big deal.
Well, you know, this
whole issue
of how much the candidates have is it's really in a way bizarre because yes, there is $10 billion for Trump, but even Sanders is a one percenter. His net worth is over $750,000. So they are all one percenters.
Did we were talking about some of the issues where the various candidates score. Did Bernie score on bringing up fracking over and over again?
No. New York doesn't have fracking. I don't think it's an issue that resonates here. It probably does in other places, but not in New York.
Yeah,
well, you know, Rosemary,
know.
When I said that the other day, I said, you know, we fought that fight.
And yes. I think it's almost
as if the advisors have said, you know, New Yorkers are wildly against fracking, which they are. But they had their way. I got letters, critical letters, saying, oh, you always have to watch fracking because it is a major issue because they'll bring it back and they're going to put the stuff in the pipes, and that's why fracking is still a big stuff.
Yeah, I think worldwide it really is an issue, I can understand that, but I don't see it resonating really in New York the way many of the other issues that they talked about, gun violence and domestic reproductive rights, domestic abuse, all those issues I think are more important.
We are going to take
Go ahead.
Just take a break and we'll be back and we'll get to more letters and more commentary from our panel this morning. Rosemary Armeo, Barbara Smith, Alan Chartok will be back with letters too, and we'll be back right after this short news break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and Barbara Smith, and we welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Alan, let's continue with some letters.
Okay, Joe. One of the things I thought was interesting was a very, very short note with nothing in the content, but says, Bernie's finger wagging was obnoxious 96 times.
I noticed that they both did it. Although I do think it's funny that somebody would count. But isn't that? I mean, that's just kind of who. I mean, that's one of his.
It's a characteristic.
It's one of his characteristics. So I don't think it's threatening in any way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Personal opinion, but I think it's just how.
I just think it's him.
Some people can't speak without their hands.
As an Italian, I
well, as a matter of fact, having a
black person,
I concur as a black person.
As a matter of fact, having appeared on television for a long, long time, I know that they had the coaches come in and tell you to speak with your hands. They wanted you to move your hands. That was a major thing. I just thought I'd let you all in on that little.
I'm glad to know we're doing the right thing for radio.
Yeah. Oh boy. 2 points on Bernie and Hillary. One, per CBS News, in a recent poll, Hillary loses to Kasich in the general election. In the same poll, Bernie beats all three GOP candidates in the general election by comfortable margins. Two, Hillary's reliance on mega cash from Wall Street firms that almost destroyed the global economy are certainly pillars of her economic thinking. Voters need to see the Goldman speech transcripts, see excellent review of books, but we never, ever...
We don't open the links,
No, we don't open the links, and we're not going to. Okay. And let's see here. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I am trying to keep up with this, but it's not easy. Okay. Are you guys aware of the pipeline of frack gas of the Kinder Morgan company planning to pass through upstate New York and compressor stations for Skodak? Aren't you aware of the dangers of frack gas in the pipeline and the huge effort going on by Citizen Stopper? Hey, come on, Janet. Our news division has covered this story so many times, I'm beginning to fall asleep. We do it all the time. So come on, stop making this stuff up.
I think it was a criticism of me saying it's like kind of a settled issue in New York. So point taken.
No, the fracking maybe. Yeah, I get
fracked
it.
Gas.
Yeah, but we do. Aren't you aware of it? That's not nice. I thought Hillary, from this is from Matt. I thought Hillary dominated last night's debate because of her grasp of the issues and communication skills. By comparison, Bernie faded as the night progressed, highlighted by his inability to highlight any influence Wall Street had over Hillary. Please, Alan, hide your Bernie bias and present an objective assessment of the facts. Boy, it's getting hot now. Yeah, it's getting hot. Oh, boy. Dear Roundtable, I often hear insinuations about Bernie Sanders' experience or lack thereof. Bernie sponsored the, quote, Keep It on the Ground Act with Jeff Merkley of Oregon. Also, along with Senator Sanders, the bill was co-sponsored by Senators Barbara Boxer, Ben Cardin, and Kirsten Gillibrand, Patrick Leahy, and Elizabeth Warren. Hillary Clinton supports global fracking. We fought extremely hard to ban fracking in our beautiful state of New York. Okay, thank you very much. Susan says, I teach at SUNY New Paltz, and fracking, and this is something the students are passionately against nationwide, not just in New York State. Also here in Ulster County, gun rights are as much an issue with gun violence, perhaps more. Finally, how Bernie can raise so much in $27 donations they ask for every day. Okay. There's a lot on fracking, but we've basically killed that one. JD says, Rosemary indicated that Sanders is part of the 1% because his net worth is plus $750K. But this amount of retirement savings would be considered normal for a person's Bernie age. That's right.
Actually, Barbara Allen was doing some research after I said that, and basically all of Congress is in the 1%. It's hard to get to that level without having huge assets. So my point is only that the idea that one is better than another because of their poverty level, we don't have that choice anymore. No more Abe Lincolns in America.
But if you compare, Bernie's net worth to the Clintons' net worth, you'd see quite
Clintons are 2 million.
Your net worth is only 2 million?
2 million.
And you get, that doesn't make any sense.
You are telling us, let me get this straight, that the Clintons are worth $2 million?
Together?
Come on.
It's joint income. I'm sorry, I should have the article here that it looked at all of them. And far and away, Trump was the richest. He has $10 billion.
Oh, yeah.
All of the Republicans as a group make way more than the Clintons do. I'm sorry, than the Democrats do.
See, what I can't figure out is how they get like five and, huge numbers book deals. Do you see what I'm saying?
So when they say that Hillary Clinton's
worth $2 million,
did you see our governor? Our governor's net worth.
So when they say that Hillary Clinton's net worth is $31.3 million and that Bill Clinton has an estimated net worth of $80 million.
Who are you citing now? I'm really sorry because I'm saying this. I read this and said, I have to bring
that
this
gives that gives a combined Bill and Hillary Clinton net worth of $111 million.
See, that makes sense when you're getting $5 and $10 million book deals. And probably I'm low on the book deals.
So I will find out.
Yeah, we have to do some research on that.
This is analyzing the 2015 U.S. Public Financial Disclosure Reports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's...
That's pretty reliable.
That's where it comes from.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Next.
Right. Well, yes, and I have to just point out that professors at the state university who have Tia Kreff and things like that, they're worth that kind of that much lower number. But that's for a lifetime of work. I was astounded when you said that, Rosemary. Hi, as a lover of WMC, I was disappointed that it was not live on the radio. Where were you guys? Not on NYC either. I don't have a television. Thanks for everything. Well, we deserve an awful lot of credit for what we have done, and I think I'll insist we get it. Anthony says,
just real quick, Alan, I mean, all of these debates, with, I think, one exception, which NPR was a part of, are all network deals through CNN, MSNBC, and Fox.
Yep.
This particular one in New York was both New York One, Time Warner, and CNN. They have the exclusive deals, and if they don't offer it to public radio, then we're not allowed to take it. So that's if we were allowed to take it, we have taken past. We took the I think two debates ago. We did take that debate. But we only take what we can get. So just for the record.
And George said the numbers Rosemary is quoting supports like sounds like annual income. That may be right. In other words,
yeah, I feel really bad because I brought it up and I'm not prepared to support it, but I promise I will go back and research it and report back. But it is an interesting issue in a campaign year where Donald Trump, who by any estimate is the richest, most out of touch with reality because of his wealth candidate, has the support of people
yes.
who feel that he
yes.
represents them.
That's
so
just,
do you see what I mean?
But that's, like, I think that's because he's a performer. And because
yeah.
and he is
he's
because
acting
he's
like
an entertainer
cares.
On TV, that kind of proximity makes people think they know you.
Yeah.
He's also extremely crude in common.
Yeah.
So the fact that he you know doesn't come across as anybody who ever spent a day in school, let alone has an advanced mm-hmm. degree for one of the best mm-hmm. schools of the country, blah blah blah. I mean, the thing is that he has that kind of common touch. Yes, and he's as I said, he thinks. Like the way he thinks they think,
yeah.
they're resonating with it. It has nothing to do with his actual class
yeah.
status.
I mean, it is something that we and I should know more about. I don't think that any of our politicians are really in the same class as us.
Not on the national level, but as I was saying, we were talking during the break because, as you know, mm-hmm. I was a member of our Common Council in Albany
right.
for two terms. I ran twice, and the thing is, I learned that those city council and a town council, those kinds of local races are ones that ordinary people can get into
right.
Without,
run
you
for
know,
school
you don't
board.
Have to be rich to
yeah.
run for common council. You do need to be strategic
yeah.
and know how to raise money. So, yeah,
fun,
yeah.
Fun.
But
and
it's
what,
not,
well,
it's
well,
not break the bank.
Barbara, while you have the floor, I have to say that I'd love to ask you, if I may, about race having entered into this thing. We have this brouhaha with Hillary and Bill. Bill having made an assertion, having to take it back or apologize for it. Hillary said it was my husband, not me, who said that. Bill basically said, hey, look, it's black-on-black crime, which is the worst in terms of numbers. And therefore, my crime bill, which did put people in prison, was a good thing for black people. That's what he said. Now, I wondered what I've been waiting for you to come on to give us a précis about that.
I was against that. What was the name of the act?
The 1994 crime bill?
Yeah. Was it comprehensive? Was there an adjective in there? Whatever it was called. I was against it at the time. So I've been against it ever since they rolled it out. I used to be able to recite because when I read the article that we discussed on the roundtable once fairly recently, that Michelle Alexander article in The Nation where she outlined all of those policies that she believed and I agree were extremely negative for the black community. I told people about the article. I said I used to be able to recite all of those without even thinking about mm-hmm. it. Mandatory minimums, effective death penalty.
The Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act of 1994.
Right, indeed. But I think it also has been referred to as comprehensive because there
yes.
are a lot of different parts in it. I just wanted to get that right. But as I said, I've been against it since they rolled it out. Now, this notion that black on black crime and those policies were a fix for that. The black on black crime argument is a right wing argument. I mean, the people who bring that out often are people who don't really care about black lives at all and are trying to get an excuse going or justification going for over policing. Mm. So that's what I think about that. They're nuances. So I don't want to just.
Do you remember the debate about super predator, the language that's come
to
the fore now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily remember it from the time.
Yeah, that's
but I
what
certainly
I'm
have.
Yeah.
I certainly have it. It's been discussed recently.
And last night during the debate, Bernie Sanders said that because it's
a
racist term.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And also, how do you feel about the apology that Hillary Clinton did give last night? And also, juxtaposed with the fact that Bernie Sanders did vote in favor of that crime bill.
Well, as I said, there are nuances and there's also deep paradoxes when you talk about electoral politics and the kinds of positions that people feel like they have to take or that they take, whether they have to or not. Since I am not enthusiastic about Secretary Clinton, the apology isn't going to work for me.
Right, you've already made up your mind.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it's just, she has some very good people advising her about her rhetoric in relationship to these issues. I saw that last night when she talked about, can't remember how she put it, but she talked about white people. No white person ever talks about white people, particularly if they're running for office in, you know, a public context. Maybe white people say something about being white when they're among themselves, but that was like, whoa, she's actually identifying herself as white and talking about what white people need to do and understand. So as I said, she has some really good advisors, but that doesn't change my perspective about, you know, where she's coming from. I do want to get back to Alan's original question, though.
Before you do, Barbara, I just want to read one letter from Michael, who says, "Hey, Barbara, the crime rate in New York City and other major cities has plummeted since Bill Clinton's crime bill. What do you think?"
We can attribute the crime rate in New York City plummeting to some of the policies of the people who run New York City. Let's face it.
It's not solely about Chicago.
Why didn't his policies have the same impact upon Chicago? It's about what's going on
actually,
in these localities.
Yeah, actually, as a national phenomenon, the crime rate went down.
This is what we get when we're judging what happened in 94 by 2016. And Bill Clinton came off so thin-skinned, onion-skinned, by defending his bill. But the truth of the matter is, I think that bill actually was supported at the time. Bernie Sanders did vote for it, as well he should have. There was a huge problem with the crack epidemic and crime at that time, and this was aimed at changing it. Now, what we see are these horrible long sentences that are ruining lives and families and communities. And our Congress needs to look at it and change the law. And it was good at the time. Now you change it.
I don't know if it was good at the time. But one of the things that I've heard Senator Sanders say about why he supported it, and I think he said this last night, is that it included the Violence Against Women Act.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, it's, as I said, those very, very difficult, you know, choices that people in office often have to make.
And I would say the same thing about the Iraq War vote, which was a bad vote. And the Marriage Act that the Clintons put in,
DOMA,
was
Defense
DOMA,
of Marriage
that's
Act.
Right.
Yeah.
It was in light of today, terrible at the time when it was the best that they thought they could do. It's really hard to criticize that now. It has to be done in context of time.
Indeed. Do we need to go to a break? Or?
We do in a minute. Okay. But go ahead.
This may be taking that conversation. You mentioned DOMA, and we're talking about LGBT rights. I just want to say I've been listening to the show this week, and there have been some conversations about trans issues, which I know we don't have as an article or story for today. But I just wanted to say there are people in our community and probably all across our listening area who are indeed trans. And I think that we need to have a way of discussing these issues without this getting to the bathroom issue level, because that's not what it's about. It's about civil and human rights and basic respect. As a cisgendered woman, I know that I have been in bathrooms, not because I observed it. It's just like statistically accurate to say this. We have been in bathrooms, including you, Rosemary, with trans women, and you didn't even know that was what was happening.
Of course.
And the thing is, the idea that we have to make distinctions between sexual predators, pedophiles, and people who are trans. They are not the same thing.
Category.
Absolutely
right.
Not
right.
The same thing. And I think that we have to be realistic. Children are most in danger from people who are pedophiles. Most pedophiles, as I understand it, identify as heterosexual.
Absolutely.
And are cisgendered. Cisgendered, that's a term when your gender conforms and your identity conforms to the gender you were assigned at birth. So that's what cisgendered means. You know, if the doctor said it's a girl and you still believe and think that, then you're cisgendered.
That's a girl.
If you, when you begin to grow up and begin to understand things, when you feel like somebody made a mistake, that's when you become, you know, begin to understand that you're transgender. We need to accept everyone. And as I said, we need to talk about these issues in a conscious way.
I think that Libby and now Barbara have both talked about these issues very well.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
And thank you, Rosemary.
This is a fight I hope you win.
Let's take a break. And again, Bo smiles. Well, all right, maybe not. let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll be right back after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. And let's see.
Joe.
Yes.
Joe, if we could, just two fast letters.
Absolutely.
One from Cody who says, good morning, panel. No comment on the election. Just wanted Alan to know he's doing a fantastic job reading emails this morning. Keep up the good work.
There you go.
Well, I don't know whether the guy's tongue is in his cheek or not, but that's what he said. Alan, sometimes reaction to having, says James, having to read a swarm of letters reminds me of my reaction when I receive a reminder of my upcoming colonoscopy.
And there you go. Two sides.
Right.
Microsoft. Let's talk about Microsoft real quick. Yeah. And this story, as I wait for it to fully load. Yes. Big technology companies have usually played a defensive game with government prosecutors in their legal fight over customer information, fighting or bowing to requests for information one case at a time. Now, in a move that could broaden the debate over the balance between customer privacy and law enforcement needs, Microsoft is going on the offense. The software giant is suing the Justice Department, challenging its frequent use of secrecy orders that prevent Microsoft from telling people when the government obtains a warrant to read their emails.
Love this story. Microsoft is going on the offensive. It's joining in with the fight we've talked about for a long time with over the iPhone and the FBI trying to get into those phones. We have privacy versus security squarely knocking against each other, and Microsoft has identified two fundamental constitutional rights that are at issue. One is the right to protect yourself from search and seizure by the government, which is what this is. And the other one is the First Amendment, right? Microsoft says we should be able to tell our customers that we had to give your information to the government. Right now, they are not. So once again, this goes back to me to Senator Warren from Virginia, who has suggested that we have an actual meeting where smart people who know the technology and know what's at stake from law enforcement sit down and figure out rules that we can all abide by.
Those rules, though, would have to be constitutional or be determined by and shaped by the Constitution, right?
They would, but that's what you have. This is a Supreme Court fight. You have two constitutional issues that are bashing against each other. They're all worthy. How do you balance? How do you balance the right to privacy, which comes out of the First Amendment, the right to freedom from search and seizure, unreasonable search and seizure, which is the Fourth Amendment, with the overall idea of the Constitution that comes out of not the amendments, but out of the Constitution itself, that the government has to defend itself.
Do you think that this case then would lead to the kind of back and forth think tank?
I think that's what Microsoft is after.
Describing?
You notice that Apple got into it when there was actually an issue. It was the San Bernardino Farms. Microsoft has moved ahead of any kind of controversy.
Right.
There's nothing to be decided. There's no time pressure. And this will go on for years. This is a debate that will start low, but it's headed for the Supreme Court.
Right.
Or, as I
right.
say, for some sort of constitutional study committee that
right.
will take a look at this.
And we're just at the tip of the iceberg
all
of this stuff because the technology is changing
Absolutely.
So fast.
It's really fascinating to watch.
Well, let me just say we have mouthed the platitudes about the banks being too big to fail. Are these companies now, Microsoft and Google and Apple, are they too big to fail? Do they have that kind of power in this country? I'm not taking sides on this, but it is an interesting question how much power they have.
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, they do have power because they're rich, and rich corporations have a lot of power in our society, wrong as I think that is.
But they're creating the devices that have our personal information
that
in
we want, that the people want.
Absolutely.
That they have become powerful.
No, but that gives them power. Right.
But also, how are they fighting the government here except through the courts? So they've not flexed power the way the banks did, which was to throw the global economy into a spin. They had powers outside of... See what I mean? They're fighting the government, but it's all in the context of a court of law.
I do. I understand Alan's point too. I mean, I think that if everyone's in it and they're working for the good of the people, then yes. But if they're not, then there are concerns, I think.
Well, I mean, the way I see it, both have really good points to make. We do need to defend against terrorism and terrible crime, government side. We do want our privacy. I don't want my stuff in the cloud going out to the world.
Alex makes a good point. Alex makes a good point. He says corporations are people too now.
Yeah.
Kind regards, Alex.
All right. We are out of time, but my thanks to Alan, of course. Thank you, Alan. Have a great weekend.
Okay, guys.
Rosemary, thank you. We'll see you next week. And Barbara, we'll see you next week as well. Have a great week.
Thank you.
Look forward to it. Coming up next, the roundtable continues. You're listening on WAMC.